optimal minimalism.
At this altitude, I can run flat out for a half mile before my hands start shaking.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Now would have seemed an appropriate time.
What if I did the opposite?
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I get asked all the time what I would take if I could only take one supplement. The answer is invariably Athletic Greens. I view it as all-in-one nutritional insurance. I recommended it, in fact, in the 4-Hour Body. This is more than 10 years ago, and I did not get paid to do so. With approximately 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients, you'd be very hard-pressed to find a more nutrient-dense and comprehensive formula on the market. It has multivitamins, multimineral greens complex, probiotics and prebiotics for gut health, an immunity formula, digestive enzymes, adaptogens, and much more. I usually take it once or twice a day just to make sure I've covered my bases if I miss anything I'm not aware of. Of course, I focus on nutrient-dense meals to begin with. That's the basis. But Athletic Greens makes it easy to get a lot of nutrition when whole foods aren't readily available. From travel packets, I always have them in my bag when I'm zipping around. Right now, Athletic Greens is giving my audience a special offer on top of their all-in-one formula, which is a free vitamin D supplement and 5 free travel packs with your first subscription purchase. Many of us are deficient in vitamin D. I've found that true for myself, which is usually produced in our bodies from sun exposure. So adding a vitamin D supplement to your daily routine is a great option for additional immune support. Support your immunity, gut health, and energy by visiting athleticgreens.com/TFS. You'll receive up to a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your subscription. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/TFS, as in Tim Ferriss Show. athleticgreens.com/TFS. This episode is brought to you by 5 Bullet Friday, my very own email newsletter. It's become one of the most popular email newsletters in the world with millions of subscribers, and it's super, super simple. It does not clog up your inbox. Every Friday, I send out 5 bullet points, super short, of the coolest things I've found that week, which sometimes includes apps, books, documentaries, supplements, gadgets, new self experiments, hacks, tricks, and all sorts of weird stuff that I dig up from around the world. You guys, podcast listeners and book readers, have asked me for something short and action-packed for a very long time, because after all, the podcast, the books, they can be quite long. And that's why I created 5 Bullet Friday. It's become one of my favorite things I do every week. It's free. It's always going to be free. And you can learn more at tim.blog/Friday. That's tim.blog/Friday. I get asked a lot how I meet guests for the podcast, some of the most amazing people I've ever interacted with. And little known fact, I've met probably 25% of them because they first subscribed to 5 Bullet Friday. So you'll be in good company. It's a lot of fun. 5 Bullet Friday is only available if you subscribe via email. I do not publish the content on the blog or anywhere else. Also, if I'm doing small in-person meetups, offering early access to startups, beta testing, special deals, or anything else that's very limited, I share it first with 5 Bullet Friday subscribers. So check it out, tim.blog/Friday. If you listen to this podcast, it's very likely that you'd dig it a lot. And you can, of course, easily subscribe anytime. So easy peasy. Again, that's tim.blog/Friday. And thanks for checking it out, if the spirit moves you. Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. Hisashiburi janeka. This is Tim Ferriss, and welcome to another episode of The Tim Ferriss Show. That little hisashiburi janeka, which is long time no see, basically, in Japanese, is a taste of things to come. I'm so excited about this episode. Every episode, I'm excited. And it is my job to deconstruct world-class performers of all different types, whether they're big wave surfers, retired Navy SEAL commanders, chess prodigies, entertainers, or otherwise. And this particular episode is a first for me, meaning it is an interpreted episode. So we have Japanese featured. It was recorded in Tokyo, where I got to meet Marie Kondo, who is sometimes referred to as Mary Kondo, so you can think of her that way if you like, but it is actually pronounced Marie Kondo. And here's a quote just to give you some flavor, a taste of things to come. Quote, you could say that tidying orders the mind while cleaning purifies it. That is from Marie. She is a Japanese organizing consultant,
author and entrepreneur, also known as Kon Marie. And you can find her on Twitter and elsewhere at Marie Kondo. That's M-A-R-I-E-K-O-N-D-O. And you probably know her because of a book. And the book is The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing, which has sold a gazillion copies. It has become a movement. She developed this particular method of organizing, which is known as the KonMari method, which you can see is an inversion of her name, which consists of gathering together everything you own, one category at a time, and then keeping only those things that, quote, spark joy, end quote. And we actually talk about how that is translated in Japanese, and I had a blast with this, as well as choosing dedicated places to store them, etc. But it goes far beyond just tidying how to. Her method is really a way of life and a state of mind, and I observed this in person. I've spent some time with her since. She has the most calming voice imaginable, which is why I play a decent amount of her speaking Japanese in this. And for those long-term listeners, you know that I lived in Japan in high school. I love Japan and Japanese, and we were very, very lucky to have Jun Greminger, who works with Marie, to fill in last minute. We had an interpreter cancellation of sorts, logistical snafu, and Jun slipped in very seamlessly to help with everything. So thank you, Jun. Marie has captured, as I mentioned, the findings of her various clientele and all of her different organizational approaches and philosophies in her mega best-selling books, the first of which I mentioned, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and its follow-up, Spark Joy, subtitle, an illustrated masterclass on the art and organizing Art of Organizing and Tidying Up. I need to organize my brain. Her books have sold more than 7 million copies and have been published in more than 40 countries. Now, Kondo goes way beyond just author in Japan. Her methods have become so famous that her last name has become a verb, Kondoing, and people who share her specific values worldwide are referred to and refer to themselves as converts with a K. She's been named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. She's also the founder and chief visionary officer of KonMari Media Incorporated, KMI, which is a US-based startup with the mission to organize the world by combining the power of technology and a network of converts with a K, which is exploding, as well as partner organizations. And KMI has recently launched a KonMari consultant training program and certification process. They are doing tons and tons of stuff. So this episode is an experiment. I had a blast with it. Marie is as lovely, 10 times lovelier than you would hope in your wildest dreams. Really just one of the most calming, fascinating people I've met in a long time. We dig into Shintoism. We dig into her upbringing. We dig into specific nitty-gritty details of her method. We talk about how it applies elsewhere. We talk about morning routines. We talk about all sorts of stuff. So without further ado, please enjoy this wide-ranging and very experimental conversation with Marie Kondo, the Japanese tidying master. Marie-san, welcome to the show.
Hi, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. There's so many things I want to ask you because I've read your books and I am a huge fan of Japan. So thank you for making the time.
Hi, こちらこそ とても嬉しいです。お会いできて。
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to meet you as well.
So I think we should start at the beginning, and that is your childhood. So could you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you grew up?
I was born and raised in Japan.
Which part of Tokyo?
江東区っていう場所ってご存知ですか?
江東区?
はい、東京都には 23区の区が、23の区があるんですけど、その中の本当に小さい区の一つです。
There are 23 wards in Tokyo, and I was brought up in Kotoku, the Koto ward, a small ward in Tokyo.
And did she have brothers or sisters? What did her parents do?
はい、兄弟は、上に兄がいて、下に妹が1人の3人兄弟です。で、父は、医者ですね。で、母は専業主婦です。
I had an older brother and a younger sister. My dad was a doctor, and my mom was a homemaker.
What type of medicine did her dad practice?
内科の医者です。
Internal doctor?
Internist, probably.
Internist, okay.
Yeah. What characterized her childhood? Like, would she say she was a happy child, a very obsessive child? How would she describe her younger self?
それで言うと私の子供の頃の、キャラクターは一言で言うと地味な子でした。
I didn't stand out much.
とにかく小さい頃から片付けにすごく興味があって、本当に5歳の時にはもう母が定期購読していたいわゆる生活史というのを熟読しているような子供でした。
So since I was a little kid, I loved organizing. When I was 5, I started reading magazines that had to do with homes and organizing.
So I heard that she also would take recess time at school and organize books in the classroom and do that type of thing. Why did she have that interest?
そうですね。片付けに興味を持ったきっかけとしては、もういくつかあるんですが、一つは私の母が専業主婦なんですが、母親がすごく楽しそうに家事をしているというのが印象的だったんです。
There are a couple of reasons why I was interested in this since I was young. First of all, my mom was a homemaker and she looked so happy doing things around the house.
で、実際に私の母がよく私に言っていたのは、もう本当にこの専業主婦という仕事はすごく素晴らしくって、私がこう家をきれいに整えていい状態にしておくことによって、父がこう元気に働きに出たりとか、子供たちが健康で育っていく、これは素晴らしい仕事なんだっていうことを言ってくれていたんです。
My mother told me that being a homemaker is great. I can create an organized and clean home, and that way my dad would be able to work and my kids will be able to stay healthy.
ただそうは言っても、うちの母は家事はすごく好きだというふうに言っていたんですが、別に片付けが特に得意というわけではなくて、私の小さい頃のお家というのは、いわゆるこう別に散らかりすぎてはいないけれども、そんなにこう常にすっきりしているわけでもなくて、こう収納を開けたら物がたくさん詰まっているみたいな、そんな感じのお家でした。
My mom loved doing chores, but she wasn't necessarily perfect at it.My home wasn't that disorganized, but it wasn't necessarily super neat either. There were a lot of things in storage.
So it sounds like her mom was a very good homemaker, but didn't specialize in the tidying up aspect of things. At what point did she become, I read somewhere that she was an attendant maiden. I don't know what that translates to exactly, but at a Shinto shrine. And I'm really interested in talking about that. So could you...maybe tell the story, if that's accurate, of how she became involved with a Shinto shrine. And the, just to maybe help describe the experience, because a lot of my fans have asked to hear more about maybe that Shinto influence, because they see some of that influence in her recommendations. Maybe that's at least their impression.
はい。Shinto っていう、言葉に関して私はこうなんか皆さんがこう興味を持ってくださるよりももっとこう身近にあってすごく自然なイメージなんですね。で、私がどうしてそこの神社で働いていたことがあったかっていうと、それ自体はたまたま巫女さんのこう募集というか、そのお仕事のアルバイトの募集 の, 広告を見たことがきっかけで、なんとなくやってみようっていうくらいの本当に軽い気持ちで始めた仕事なんですね。ただ私自身はすごく小さな時から12歳ですね、12歳くらいのもう小学生の時から、その神社に行くとすごくこう心がすっきりするとか、なんかとても自分の中が整うなっていう経験をすごくしていて、すごく神社というものが身近にあったんです。
So regarding Shintoism, it's more of a very natural part of my life. The reason why I worked there was there was an opening and they were hiring an attendant maiden. And I saw Help Wanted-san. It was a very, very casual decision. When I was 12 years old in elementary school, I felt, even at that age, I felt like when I went to a shrine, I felt very peaceful and put together inside.
She stayed at that job for how long? Or how long did she continue to do that job?
Do...学生時代を通してだったので、高校3年生の時から大学4年、日本は大学4年生なんですけど、4年までなので5年間ですね。
Okay, so 5 years. And what does an attendant maiden do?
このおみっこさんのその仕事内容としてはすごくとてもシンプルで、基本的には例えばご参拝してくださった方に対して、お守りをなどやお札などをお授けしたりですとか、あとは境内のお掃除ですね、という仕事を主にやっていました。
So the work is very simple. There are people who come to pray, and we sell them lucky charms, and we also clean the area as well.
Why did she stop?
これはもう私が学生時代にやっていたお仕事で、大学ですねを卒業と同時に、新卒で別の会社に入社したのをきっかけに辞めることになりました。
So I did this as a student. So after I graduated college, I got a different full-time job.
So it was a college gig. And the sort of switch that I'd love to hear more about is...How did she, what was the experience, or how did she go from a focus on throwing things away to things that give joy?
はい。これにはストーリーがあって、本当に先ほどお伝えしたように、私は小さい頃からとにかく片付けの研究をずっと続けていたわけなんですが、当時は私にとって片付けイコール捨てることだったんですね。ただ、その自分の中でこう物を捨てても捨てても全然すっきりお家がしてこないっていうことにすごく長い間悩んでいたんです。
There's a story behind this. So as I mentioned before, I loved studying and experimenting with organizing since a young age. But at the time, for me, organizing meant throwing things away. But even when I threw things away, I didn't feel like I was organized.
And why is that?
それはどうしてかっていうと、私がいつも物に対していつもマイナスの感情で見ていたからなんですね。とにかく物を捨てたくて捨てたくてしょうがない病気に私はかかっていて、私は当時の自分のことを捨てるマシーンっていうふうに呼んでるんですけれども、そんな状態だったので、何かを見てもこれは捨てられるんじゃないかとか、これはもう古いんじゃないかとか、物のその捨てるべき理由っていうのを探し続けたうちに、私がどんどんストレスが溜まっていってしまったんです。
So this was a very negative way of looking at things. At the time, I was throwing away so many things that I called myself a discarding machine. I was always looking for reasons to throw things away, and this became extremely stressful.
So it sounds like it had a negative connotation. So the act of cleaning up with a focus on throwing things out sort of acquired a negative connotation. So the sparking joy...I want to talk about because I think people who've read your books will be familiar with some of these concepts, but for people who haven't read the books, I'll take a stab at it. One of the things you're known for, you're known for many different things, but one would be looking at things in terms of, say, categories instead of rooms, right? Then you also have holding these objects in your hands once you put everything in a category, say, on the floor, and asking if it sparks joy. So I want to talk about the Japanese version of that. So...Is the word tokimeku?
はい、tokimeki です。
So I would love for her to describe in Japanese what it feels like when it's an object that she should keep.
そうですね。先ほどの、私がときめくっていうことに、気づいたきっかけで多分最後までお話ししてなかったかと思うんですけれども。それで言うと、本当にそのときめくものって本当に大事なんだっていうふうに気づいたのは、そのさっきもお伝えしたように捨てるものを探し続けてストレスが溜まって最終的に片付けノイローゼで失神してしまったっていう経験があるんですね。
So I realized that the concept of spark joy is extremely important. As I said before, I was extremely stressed out when I was trying to identify things that I could discard. And as you may all know, I've actually passed out from organizing too much.
で、その時に気絶からこう起き上がった瞬間に本当に自分の頭の中で本当にそのことに気づいたのは、片付けで大事なことっていうのは、本当に捨てるものではなくて、残すものにフォーカスするべきなんだ。いかにこの自分が住んでるお部屋の中から自分を幸せにしてくれるもの、本当に自分がときめくものを持つことが大切なんだっていうふうにひらめいたんですね。それが本当に私がそのときめくっていうことに関しての概念を見つけた瞬間だったんです。
When I woke up in my head, I was thinking, what's important in organizing is not focusing on discarding, but really focusing on what to keep. So it's really how to make your room into a space that sparks joy, full of things that spark joy for you. And so when I woke up, this was really the first time that I realized the spark joy concept.
This is waking up after passing out.
Yes.
Right. What is so important about thanking objects? And when did that start for her?So being grateful to objects. Why is that important and when did it start?
はい、この物を捨てるときに感謝をする経験というのは、 いつから始めたのかっていうのはもう正直言って覚えてないくらい自然に私が始めていたことなんですけれども、私が片付けコンサルタントとして仕事を始めた19歳の時にはもうもはやすでにやっていたことです。
Showing appreciation for things, that's, I don't really remember when I started. When I started becoming an organizing consultant at age 19, this was something that I already did.
And at 19, that's when her friends started asking her to help with tidying, offering her money?
そうなんです。もともとは私の趣味で、あの周りの友達のお家を片付けさせてもらうっていう活動を続けていたんですけれども、そのうち、あの私が行ったお友達の間で噂になったのことが、まあ、こんまりちゃんがお家に遊びに来ると家がめちゃくちゃ綺麗になるっていうような噂話が広がるようになって、でそのうち全然知らない方からもご連絡をいただくようになって、あの本当にお金を払うから来てほしいっていうふうに言われるようになって仕事になるようになっていたんです。
Yes, it was originally just a hobby. I loved organizing my friends' houses. But then word spread and people started saying, hey, if Marie goes over to your house will become super organized. That's when people that I didn't know started reaching out to me and saying they'll pay for the service.
Why is it important to thank the objects before discarding them? Because this is something I think a lot of Americans, at least people who have sent me questions to ask, they wonder, do I really have to do it? And does she recommend doing it out loud? Or is that something that's sufficient to do in your own head?
はい、ありがとうございました。3つ目の質問からお答えすると、それはあの、ありがとうっていうことに関しては別に声を出しても頭の中でもどちらでも大丈夫です。それの気持ちを一つ一つ自分が持つということがまず大事。これが一つ。
Let me answer your third question first. You can either say it out loud or in your head. What's important is to really feel that appreciation.
そしてなんでそんなに感謝をすることが大事なのかというと、そのもの一つ一つ手放すものに対してさえもこう一つ一つ感謝をすることによって、今まで、まあ、物を捨てることってとてもこう罪悪感があったりすることってありますよね。その罪悪感の気持ちを自分でこうしっかり味わってあの手放すことをすごく容易にすることができるからなんです。
So in regards to your question on why it's important to say thank you to each item, wellWhen you're saying thank you, or rather, when you're discarding something or when you're throwing something away, it's pretty common to feel guilt. You feel guilty for throwing something away. But it's really important to feel that guilt. And by saying thank you, it becomes easy to throw away.
そうですね。例えば例を言った方が多分分かりやすいと思うので、具体的にお伝えすると、例えば、皆さんが捨てるものの迷うもののアイテムの一つとしては、買ってとっても高かった。けれどもときめかないお洋服があったとしますよね。で、それって普通はとても捨てにくいものなんですけれども、例えばそのお洋服の本当のお役目を考えてみるということを私はお勧めしたいんです。で、そういうふうに考えていくと、例えばその高かったお洋服というのは、買った瞬間ときめいたっていうのが自分に対してのお役目だったり、もしくはこういうお洋服は自分にとって似合わないんだなっていうのを教えてくれたのがそのお洋服のの予約目だっていうことに、そのお洋服と向き合うことによって分かることができるんです。なので、そのしたものを捨てるときに、買った瞬間ときめかせてくれてありがとうとか、こういうタイプのお洋服は自分に似合わないんだなっていうのを教えてくれてありがとうっていうふうに、ものに対してそのお役目一つ一つを考えながら処分することによって、本当に自分にとって大切なものはどんなものなのかとか、あの自分がそのものを、自分がものを選んできた自分の価値観というのを自分で見つけ合うことができるんです。
So for example, one of the things that clients have a really hard time throwing away is expensive clothes. It is usually hard to throw away, but you need to think about the clothing's purpose. What purpose did it have? So maybe it sparked you joy the moment you bought it, or maybe it taught you that you don't look in a certain type of clothing. So,say thank you for, you know, say for example, thank you for sparking joy when I bought you, or thank you for teaching me that these kinds of clothes don't look good on me, is one way to do it. Really think about the purpose and really realize what's important to you and what your values are.
What do, say, we can be specific, American fans of your books and methods, what do they tend not to pay enough attention to?Just in general, maybe they think it's important, but they're like, oh, okay, like, I'll take a look at that, but then they focus on other things. Really, the question is, what do they pay too little attention to, and what do they pay too much attention to in general?
そうですね。私が今までお会いしたあの本の読者の方、読者さんの感じを見ると、本当に皆さん、私がむしろ本当に思っている以上に、そのこんまりメソッドの真髄についてよくご理解いただいているなっていうのがはっきり言って一番の印象です。ただ、例えば一つ申し上げるとすると、例えばその本当に物に対する感謝という場面ですよね。あの本当に今自分が持っているものに対してこういかに感謝しているか、このものがあるから今日は自分が生活できているんだなっていうこの感覚っていうのをもっとこう感じていただけると、よりその片付けの効果だったりとかっていうところがもっと出やすいのかなって思います。
So I've met a lot of my readers and fans, but they really understand the KonMari method is more than I expected. That's my impression. One thing I wish they would do more of is really feel and show that gratitude toward items. So really feeling the appreciation for each of their belongings.
What is one of the most difficult things, or some of the most difficult things that she has given up?
本当に私はずっと片付けを経験ずっとし続けているので、なんか自分の片付けの経験で印象深かったものがもはや思い出せない。
ずっとこう
置き、自分の片付けはもう本当にもう終わってしまっていて、自分の片付け、物理的な片付け自体はずっとお客様の片付けに向き合ってきたので、今すごく私のことに直接聞かれてちょっと考えてしまったっていうことの一つですね。
I've been constantly tidying my entire life, so honestly, I can't think of anything.
How has her thinking changed, if it has, with a child now? Changed or evolved?
そうですね。変わったことの一つとしては、実際まだ私は子供が、1歳半とまだ5ヶ月とかの小さい子供が2人いるんですけれども、子供がいると本当に時間がない。っていうのをとても自覚していて、子供が生まれる前の時よりも完璧に綺麗な状態に保つことはやはり少しは難しいっていうことに気づきました。
My kids are still very, very young. I have a 1.5-year-old and a 5-month-old. What I realized is when you have kids, you really don't have time. It's really hard to make everything perfect.
How would she suggest people handle that themselves?
そうですね。まず一つ間違いなく言えるのは、もうどんな状況であれ、まずは片付けって、なんて言うんだろう。ちょこちょこした対処療法ではなくて、まずは自分、私がおすすめしているこんまりメソッド、つまり人生に一度の片付け祭りというのを一回終わらせておくことというのが一番大事だということです。
Tidying and organizing is not something that you do little by little. So what I suggest is doing it all at once. That's really important.
So what is that called in English and what is that called in Japanese? Because I just heard it in Japanese.何か祭り、なんて言うんですか。
片付け祭り。
片付け祭り。
はい、片付け祭り。
お祭りみたいに一定期間を自分で期間を決めてしまって、一気に短期に完璧に片付ける。
So that is, you know, in effect, I kind of like the sound of it. I mean, this is like a tidying festival, right? Or like,
correct.
I mean, a party of sorts, right?
Because yeah.
What makes a 片付け祭り successful?
そうですね。本当に物一つ一つと向き合って、で最終的に物の片付け、物理的なお部屋の片付けだけではなくて、自分の価値観っていうもの自体もすごくクリアにしていくこと、これが私が考えている片付けの最終的なゴールなんです。
So you really have to face each and every item that you own. Organization and tidying is not just for practical purposes. You really need to make your values clear. So understand what your values are. That's my goal with organizing.
What would be examplesof values that would help with organizing.
そうですね。自分は一体、自分という人間は一体どういう価値観を大切にしている人間なのかっていうのを分かるきっかけになるんですけれども、例えば、今、本当私のお客様の例なんですけれども、その片付けを終えた後に、自分が本当にやりたい仕事に転職をされた方だったりとか、新しいビジネスを立ち上げられた方だったりですとか、あとはその人付き合いですね、ということに関しても、本当に自分が付き合いたい人、本当に自分が大切にしたい人とだけ付き合うようになったり、っていうふうに、そんなふうに物理的に本当に行動が変わっていくようになります。
So think about what values do I think are important. So this is an example of one of my clients, but She got a new job in something that she really wanted to work for. Other examples include people who built their own businesses or really re-examined their relationships and kept only those who were really important in their lives in their life.
So when they're going through their house and doing this, the all at once approach, then the values that guide them relate to their identity as a business person or as
Let me try to clarify that. So the purpose of organizing is not just to make your house clean or your room tidy or anything like that. The end purpose, the end goal is to really think about what your values are, really clarify what your values are. So what's important to you? Mm-hmm. So in regards to my client examples, there were people who, you know, after they finished organizing and tidying, they were able to re-examine what they wanted in life.
Right. That clarity transfers to other areas. Yeah. How would she suggest people deal with a family member who is, I'm sure this is a very common question, a family member who is a hoarder or does not clean up, keeps old magazines, old this, old that? Like, how would she suggest, any, it could be anything, but how would she suggest that they, what would her recommendations be to those people?
はい、まず一番初めにするべきことというのは、ちょっと意外かもしれないんですが、まずはそのことは一旦置いておいて、自分の片付けを完璧に終わらせるということなんです。
First and foremost, you just need to forget about it. That's other people. You need to finish your own tidying.
First.
First.
まずね。
まず。
まず。
その後。
まずその後に、こうやって自分の片付けが終わった後に、私が片付けをやっていてすごく不思議な経験をすごくたくさんしてるんですけれども、家族もつられて片付け出すっていう効果がとってもあるんです。
Then after you're finished tidying, what's really surprising is that a lot of people experience this, but when family members see you tidying, it makes them want to tidy up too.
片付けって本当に私の経験なんですけれども、片付けをすることによって自分のこう取り巻くエネルギーっていうのがやっぱり変わっていくんですね。すごくすっきりしてきたりとか、自分自身がすごくクリアなエネルギーを持っていくようになると、本当にその家族やお家の中にもすごくそれが伝染していって、すごく不思議な話なんですが、自分がその片付けをしているっていうことを内緒にして片付けをしていた人であっても、知らないうちに家族が片付けを始めるっていう経験もとてもたくさんあるんです。
Your energy changes after you finish up tidying. You release this clear energy, which is communicated to your family. So even people who have secretly tidied up have come to me and said that their families tidied up after them as well.
What would her words of advice be to a particularly difficult case? Let's say you finish your own cleaning and tidying, but there's a family member who still is not receiving the message.
はい、ポイントとしては、まずは収納場所は明確に分けるっていうことがすごく大事なんです。
First of all, you need to be really clear about categorizing your storage.
これはお家の中で一緒に暮らしている家族としても、これをルールを明確にするべきだというふうに私は考えていて、例えば、片付けが苦手な旦那さんがいたとして、そしたらあなたのものを収納する場所はここからここまでで、こういう風なんですっていう風に、で、私の収納場所はここからここなんですっていう風なものはきっちりこう決めておくっていうことがすごく大事なんです。で、そこからはみ出さない限りは基本的には自分は口を出さないっていうのをやって、ルールとして私はお勧めしています。
So if you live together as a family, you need to create some rules. So let's say, you know, to your husband, you can say, this is your space from here to here. Really lay that out, and say, you know, as long as you're within this space, I won't say anything.
ですね。で、あとは私がよくお勧めしているのは、もしあなたが本当に完璧に片付けが終わっていて、自分のものに関して何の片付けも悩みもないっていう状態になっているのであれば、おすすめなのは、例えばもう旦那さんのものであれば、収納だけはきれいに整えてあげる、作り変えてあげるっていうのはすごく効果的です。
So another thing I recommend is if you're really completely done tidying and you're satisfied with your tidying, you know, just using the husband example, for example, to your husband, you can make storage available for them. That's one way to do it.
例えば、 お洋服をきれいに畳み直してきれいに収納し直してあげるっていうことを一回やって差し上げるだけで、そのご主人が、あ、片付いてる状態ってすごく気持ちいいんだとか楽しいんだっていう経験をすることができるんで、それによってすごく片付けに興味が持ってきたりっていうふうにするケースがとても多いです。
So for example, you can fold your husband's clothes for them and put it away for themand that way your husband can realize, oh wow, having a tidy and organized space feels really good. And then he can become interested in tidying up himself.
Yeah, that's what one of my ex-girlfriends did a few years ago. But she did it in a very clever way. She would say, and I'm not that messy, but I tend to have a lot of certain things, or I used to. And she would say, why don't we just give away one of these and then let me organize the space, and then if you don't like it I can put it back the way it was. So she would volunteer that way, and of course maybe I'm just too lazy, but once it was fixed it looked better, felt better. I was like, no, of course I'm not going to ask you to turn it back to how it was. But she was very good at getting that foot in the door. So in any case, so question about kids. I want to talk about kids a little bit. So how would you suggest helping to instill the habit of tidiness into kids? Are there any routines or practices that you can have children do when they're young so that they have the habit of tidying?
お子さんに片付けの習慣をつけさせるのにすごくおすすめな方法は、お洋服の正しい畳み方を教えるということなんです。
What I recommend is teach your kids how to fold clothes in the proper way.
どうしてかっていうと、お洋服というのは、まあ、毎日自分が確実に使っているもので確実にしまうっていう習慣があるものですし、まあ、明確に自分のものであるという意識があるので、このお洋服の畳み方を教えてあげることによって、その片付けの習慣、片付けの意識っていうのはすごくつきやすくなっていきます。
So the reason is clothes is something that everyone uses every day.You use it every day, you have to put it away every day, and it's clearly your own. So by teaching kids how to fold, they'll learn how to organize really quickly, or the concept of organizing and keeping tidy.
So I was very happy to see her folding method the first time I saw it, which for those people who are familiar, and I'm not going to do it justice, but if you're imagining, for instance, a t-shirt laying out in front of you, you could fold the arms in on either side into a vertical column effectively, and then folding it up so that it could be set vertically in a shelf, for instance. But it's also very similar to how I used to fold my judo uniform. And so I got used to, when I was in Japan at age 15 as an exchange student, I was...in part of the club system, sports were mandatory, so they call that bukatsu, and I went into the judobu. So every day I would have to very nicely fold up my judo uniform two or three times. And so I got very accustomed to folding the clothing, and then I would tie it with the belt, the obi, and put it over my shoulder, and off to the train I went. So I saw the folding method, and it was very natsukashii. Natsukashii is one of those words that's kind of hard in Japanese.For those people who speak any Portuguese, it's similar. It's a little similar to saudade, but it's a little hard to translate into English. Makes me think fondly of my experience in Japan.
The closest word might be nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Like there we go. Yeah, that's the closest. That's probably the closest word. How is the KonMari method different from minimalism? Or when people ask her, is the KonMari method minimalism? How does she answer that?
はい、これの違いに、ミニマリズムというのは基本的に、まあ、本当にミニマムなことを目指していく考え方だと思うんですが、こんまりメソッドというのは量は関係ないんです。例えばいくらものを持っていても、その状態にちゃんと自分が納得して自分がときめいている状態であれば OK なんですね。大事なのは常に自分にとってどれくらいのものの量を持っていると幸せなのかということが明確であるということなんです。
Right. So I think I mean, it sounds like this is very fun for me to explore, because Maria-san was just explaining is that in minimalism, you're really focusing on reduction and the sort of minimal amount as the objective, whereas in her method, please correct me if I get any of this wrong, the amount doesn't really matter as much. It's about finding the balance that makes you happy. And as long as that's the case, then it's permissible in so much as it reminds me of, and my fans are probably sick and tired of hearing about me talk about Seneca and Stoicism, but Stoics would talk about, in the case of Seneca, for instance, riches not being the problem. So you're allowed to have riches as long as the riches don't have you, if that makes sense. So in other words, I mean, it sounds like she's also saying that you can have belongings as long as those are belongings that give you joy, but not when the things we own start owning us.
Exactly.
Yeah. How would you suggest people let go of objects that they inherit from people who die? This was a common question that came up because they feel tremendous guilt about these objects that come from, say, a mother or a father who dies. What would your suggestions be to those people?
まず、お亡くなりになった方の遺品ですね、の片付けの考え方としては、私のおすすめは遺品や思い出品などのちょっと自分にとってだいぶセンチメンタルなものに関する片付けは一番最後にするというのがおすすめです。
So these fall into the category of sentimental items. So do this last.
ですね。なぜかっていうと、こんまり
メソッド。As a category.
そうです、そうです。なので、こんまりメソッドのっていうのは、カテゴリーの順番がとても明確に決まっていて、一番初めがお洋服。で、次が、本。次が書類。小物。思い出品の順番になっていくんですが、自分にとって判断がしにくいものは一番最後にしていくんです。で、少しずつ、その片付けを進めることによって、自分のときめき感度を磨いていくというのがポイントなんです。
The categories that I recommend are clothes, books, documents, kimono, and sentimental items.
In order.
So that's the order.
Can you go through that one more time?
Sure. First do clothes, then books, then documents, then kimono, which is miscellaneous items.
Miscellaneous.
And then lastly, sentimental items. And it's really, really hard to judge, you know, what sparks joy and what doesn't spark joy for sentimental items. So you need to do this at the end. So by this time, hopefully, you would have trained your kind of spark joy
muscle slash lens, right? And at that point, what if you have objects that don't necessarily give you joy, but they gave another person joy, so you feel guilt. So you hold it, you know it doesn't give you joy, but you still feel guilty because it gave your mother joy or your father joy. How would she suggest they talk to themselves, or what should they say to themselves to fix that?
もうそれこそ本当に物一つ一つときちんと向き合っていただきたいんです。これは一般的な答えではなくて、それこそ本当に実際にそのものを触った時に自分がちゃんと喜ぶ感覚がするか、例えばそのものを持つことによって自分のお母様の喜びというものを感じられて、すごくあったかい気持ちになったり幸せな気分になる、本当に自分の手元に置いておきたくなるっていう、こうポジティブな感情があるのであればぜひ取っておいてください。で、逆にそのものを持っていて自分はときめかないんだけれども、母はときめいていたよな、どうしようかなみたいな感じの感覚ってになっている自分に気づいたのであれば、それはもう本当に今まで自分の母親、自分のお母さんをときめかせてくれてありがとうっていうふうな感謝の気持ちを込めて手放すっていう選択を取る。これも本当に一つの皆さんの選択なんです。
So you need to face each and every item. So, you know, when you touch it, if it sparks joy, or when you hold it in your hand, do you feel the joy that your mother did?
That warm feeling.
Does it give you that warm, fuzzy feeling? And does that make you want to keep it with you? And if all those feelings are positive, then I suggest you keep it. But then, let's say if it doesn't spark joy, but it did for your mother, what you need to do is say, thank you for sparking joy in my mother's life. And then say thank you and discard it.
So it seems like the gratitude piece, the thanking, is a very important part of the release. Sort of, it provides a closure for a lot of this, which I find fascinating because so there's a quote, I'm going to get the attribution wrong. It's Neal something or other, N-E-A-L, but the quote is, and I'm probably going to get this slightly wrong too, the suffering ends when the gratitude begins. So I feel like that could be applied to a lot of things, including the cleaning itself, or rather the tidying. What are some of the most misunderstood parts of her method? Like when I'm sure there are people out there, like with my work or anyone else's work, who say, you know, Tim recommends this. And I like, wait a second, I don't actually recommend that at all. Right. So what are some common misunderstandings about her method?
そうですね。それはあります。例えば、やっぱりときめかないものを捨てるっていう感じがすごくこう強いように感じてしまって、もう何でもかんでもこう捨ててしまう人っていうふうにやはり見られてしまうことっていうのはあるんですが、私がとにかくお伝えしたいものをしたいこととしては、とにかく自分にとって本当に大切なものを大切にしましょうということなんです。
Because the method includes things like throwing away anything that doesn't spark joy, I am often misunderstood as, you know, someone who just recommends discarding everything. That's not the case. So my message is take really good care of the things that matter to you.
本当に自分にとって自分にとってその大切でないものにこう気を向けすぎたりとか、そのことによって例えば義理だったりとか、そのなんか自分の本当の思いじゃないところで本当に自分にとって大切なものを大切にしきれてないんじゃないかっていうふうに思うことが、私は片付けの現場でたくさん思ったことがあるので、本当にその部分に関しては皆さんにご理解いただけるといいなって思っているんです。
So for youDon't put too much energy into anything that doesn't spark joy. Really understand where you need to allocate your energy. So you need to allocate energy into what matters to you, what's most important to you.
So I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about her routines. So what are some of the routines, say, in the first 90 minutes of her day? Like, what does the first 90 minutes of her day look like? When does she wake up? What are the rituals that are important, if any? Just that first, like from waking up to lunch, what's important and what does her routine look like?
そうですね。私は朝起きた後はとにかくこう、私は一日中こう家に対しての意識をすごくすることがあるんですけど、起きた時にすごくお家に対しておはようって、もちろん家族にも言うんですけれども、おはようっていうふうな気持ちを持ちながら起きて、お家中のこう窓を開けて換気をして気を通すっていうことをすごく大事にしています。それからは、あとは本当に日常的によくやっているのは朝のヨガですね。うん、朝のヨガをすることによって、本当に自分の中の、その気が整う。今日も一日のまずスタートするときのこう自分の元の状態に戻すっていう意味だとヨガをしています。あとは本当に皆さんと同じように子供がいるので子供の朝ごはんを用意したりですとか、自分の朝ごはんを用意して、食べて、あとはやっていることとしては、日本のお家というのは玄関の叩きというのがあるんですけれども、玄関の叩きを拭くっていうことをしているんですね。エントランスフロアですね。玄関の、床を拭くということを習慣にしています、まず。
After I wake up, I focus my thoughts on the house. So, for example, I say good morning to my house. Of course, I tell my family members good morning as well.And then I open up all of the windows, circulate the air, and then I do morning yoga. So I feel very put together and recentered when I do this. And of course, as you know, I have kids as well. So I prepare their breakfast, I prepare my breakfast and eat. And in Japan, there is a concept of really wiping the floor of your entrance. So I do that as well.
So she sweeps...The entrance?
ではなくて、拭くんです。玄関の叩きを拭くことによって、日本って玄関と外っていうのはすごくこう明確に分かれていて、外と内。で、そこの玄関の叩きっていうのは外からもらってきたこう汚れとか、みたいなものを落としてくれる場所としての役割があるので、そこもきちんと、そこをクリアにしていくことによって、すごくお家全体がこうクリアな気が流れるというふうに私も感じられるんです。
So I wipe it. So in Japan, there's a clear division between the entrance and outside, between inside and outside. So the entrance is where you can, you know, kind of dust off anything that you've accumulated
well,
outside.
It's the lower step generally, right? I mean, for a lot of houses, right before they step up into the house, you
exactly.
put on slippers where you take off the shoes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I have a couple of specific questions. What type of yoga does she practice?
どんなヨガ?ヨガに種類ある?これ本当に素人なので、yeah. そんなこう大したことはしているわけではなくて。
No, that's totally fine. She just asked, wait a second, there are different types of yoga?
Just yoga ですね。
I'm just a beginner. So, right, all right. So, straightforward yoga. Does she have a routine that she follows or a video or...?
もう日本で買ったあのヨガの基本的な本を買ったことがあるんですけれども、それに沿ってすごくベーシックなヨガをしています。
はい。And how long does she do? When does she wake up? How long does she do yoga for?
そうですね。朝6時半くらいに起きて、時間としては本当に20分くらいのヨガをしています。
I do my yoga based on a book I bought in Japan. I usually wake up at 6:30 a.m. and I take about 20 minutes to do my yoga.
What are the most common breakfasts that she has and that she makes for her kids?
そうですね。あの季節によって変えています。例えば夏ですと、あの、野菜のコールドプレスジュースを家で作ることがすごく多いです。で、冬になっていくと、あの和食の和朝食ですね、がすごく体に合ってるなっていうふうに思うので、まあ、ご飯とお味噌汁の朝食を作ることがあります。
So it really depends on the season. In the summer, I love making cold pressed juice. In the winter, we eat a lot of Japanese breakfast, so it's really good for you and it's healthy. It consists of rice and miso soup.
Is there anything besides the rice and miso?
その日によって違ってきますね。あの普通に卵料理、卵焼きですね。日本の卵焼きがついてるケースもありますし、あとは前の晩に残ったおかずを食べることもありますし、私はあまりこの、その本当に決まったものがあるというよりも、その時その時自分がその朝何を求めているのかっていうのをその日に感じてこう用意するっていうことをすごく意識しているので、こう常にいつも同じっていうものではないかもしれないですね。
It really depends on the day. So for example, I'll have Japanese omelets or leftovers from the night before. I really don't have a set menu for my breakfast. I make what I feel would be fit and good that day.
When she gets home for the day, so at the end of the day, so we talked about the first 90 minutes. So I'd like to talk about maybe the last 90 minutes. Does she have any particular wind down routines or pre-bed routines, anything like that that are important to her?
逆にあの、一日が終わった、まあ、例えば最後の90分って、あの、まあ、どんなルーティンがありますか？
ルーティーンとしてやっているのは、私は寝る前というよりも、お家から帰った後のルーティンが結構しっかりあっていて、あの、お家に帰った瞬間、とりあえずまずお家にただいまっていうんですね。あ、家族のにただいまって言った後にも、お家に対してもただいまっていうふうに挨拶をして、で、それから、自分の持っているものというのをすべて定位置に戻していくっていうのが習慣なんです。で、具体的には自分のカバンの中身ですね。カバンの中身もすべて定位置があるので、カバンの中のものを一つ一つ定位置に戻していきながら、今日も一日働いてくれてありがとうっていうふうに、まあ、声をかけたり、その気持ちを込めながら定位置に戻していくっていうのがとてもルーティンです。
After I say hi to my family members, I say to my house, hi, I'm home. And then I return the items in my bag to where they belong. Every item has a place, so I return them to their places, and I, of course, communicate with them as well.
And thank them for their service. The, just for people who want a little bit of cultural context too, when you come home to a Japanese home, you say, tadaima, and then the people there would say, okaeri. And then when you leave the house in the morning, you'd say something like, ittekimasu, and then they would say, itterashai, which is like, I'm going to come back, and then they would say, well, go and come back, effectively. It sounds weird when you literally translate it, but that's part of Japanese culture with your family, or in my case, with my host family. You would leave, say your bit, and then everybody would sort of have a chorus back, and when you get home, you say, tadaima, and then everyone would say, welcome home, effectively. What...Besides her own books, what books has she gifted the most to other people as presents?
人生はニャンとかなるっていう本があるんですけれども、あの、かわいい猫ですね。猫の写真がたくさん載っていて、その、人生訓みたいなものが、あの、とにかくその猫の表情と本当に自分を励ます言葉みたいなのがたくさんある、そのメッセージブックというのが、あの、日本で流行っていたんですけれども、それをプレゼントして、あの、とても喜ばれました。
Of course, it depends on the person, but for example, this is a recent story, but in Japan, there's a popular book called Jinsei wa Nyan to kanaru. And just for people who don't know Japanese, Nyan is kind of like meow. It has, this book has a lot of cute pictures of cats, and then along with a lot of messages that are encouraging words.
Jinsei wa Nyan to kanaru. Japanese love puns. They love puns. Ah, それは味ギャグみたい。 Okay, so if she could have a message, one message on a gigantic billboard, right? Just like a short message, not a advertisement, but just a message that she would like to get to millions of people on a huge billboard, right? Sort of a metaphorical question. What would the billboard say?
Oh, love your thing you own, Disney.
Hmm. Love the things you own.
I love the things you own.
Hmm. That's good. I like that. I'm writing that down. Can you think of a favorite failure? And I'll explain what I mean by that. This is because I think that a lot of people look at Maria-san and it's very intimidating. They go, oh God, she's perfect. She never makes mistakes. So what is a favorite failure? Which means maybe something that was did not succeed or was a failure that ended up sowing the seeds for success later. Does that make sense?
失敗談としては、私が学生の時代のまだ片付けの研究をしていた時なんですけれども、片付けにはまりすぎて家族の大切なものをバンバン捨ててしまったっていうことがあるんです。
Here's a failure story. So when I was still experimenting with organizing when I was still a student, I went through a period when I discarded my family's things.
Some of the most important things, right?
結構大事なこととか。
Yeah.
そうなんです。だからもちろん大喧嘩になりまして、本当に例えば母親の高いバッグだったりですとか、父親の、まあ、私から見ると全然着てなくて、着てなくて、ほこりをかぶっていたように見えたスーツだったりですとか、まあ、私としては、当時の私としては、まあ、もう捨てて、私が捨ててあげたくらいな感じで捨てていたんですが、まあ、当時の自分に本当にビンタをかましたいですね。
So of course this turned into huge fights. For example, one time I threw away a very expensive bag that my mother owned, and another time I threw away my dad's suit that looked like it had dust accumulating on it. And at that time my thought was, hey, I discarded it for you. I did it for you. And I really want to just almost hit myself for my younger self for doing that.
ですね、本当に片付け、まあ、後から本当にその経験を通して、そう、本当に片付けにおいては本当にその人の価値観っていうのがすごく大事なので、本当にいかにその他人から見てそれはガラクタだっていうふうに見えても、その人の許可なしに勝手に捨てることはもう本当にタブーであるっていうことを本当に心から自分の経験で学びました。
So in terms of organizing, what's important is that person's specific value. So even if it looks differently from you, what's important is how they're feeling, what their values are.
So I have a question about the inputs, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. That it seems like loving the things you own is a balance of sorts, because you have things coming in that you buy, and then you have things going out that you discard, and then you have things that stay that you organize. So I'd love to hear how she decides to buy something or not. Because, for instance, I think for many people, they buy something and in that moment it makes them very happy, but then 6 months later, it's not important anymore. It doesn't do anything. So how does she distinguish those two? Or just maybe she could walk us through her thought process when she's considering buying something or not.
そうですね。お買い物の基準としても、すごくとても単純で、私はときめくかどうかっていうところを大きな判断軸にしているんです。ただ、このときめきっていうその感覚っていうのは、その片付けをすることによって、あとはその自分の残したものを大切にちゃんと扱っていくことによって、そのときめきの感度って磨かれるというふうに考えています。
It's very simple. So for me, it's just whether it sparks joy for me or not when I hold that item in my hands.And that spark joy feeling is a muscle, as I said before, that you really train by going through the tidying process.
Could she elaborate on how then she distinguishes from something that gets her very excited for a short time versus something that she realizes will spark joy for a longer period of time?
So, 見分けてるっていう意識は、そうですね、見分けてるっていう意識は、自分としては特に意識はしていないんですが、 すごく自然に分かるようになってくるっていう答えですかね。自分の持ち物に対してすごく意識的に向き合うことによって、今自分にとってどういうものが必要なのかっていうのが常に意識できるように、もうそんなに意識するというか本当に自然な状態になっていくんですよね。なっていくので、あ、これは今の自分にとって本当に必要だとか、これは本当に長きにわたって自分にとって必要だっていうこの感覚は自分で判断できるようになってきます。でもちろん私は本当に短い間だけでもときめくものというものもとても素敵だっていうふうに思っているので、それはそれでもちろん自分のときめきの体験になりますし、短いからダメっていうわけではないです。
うん、
So I don't necessarily always consciously think about that. So it's something that you just realize naturally. So you can notice what's necessary to you now. Consciously train that muscle andthen you're able to know what you need now at the moment, and what you need long term. So we become better able to judge that. Of course, I think it's lovely to have short term spark joy items as well. It's not about, you know, long term or short term.
Got it. It's not exclusively one or the other. What is a recent, doesn't have to be recent, but a purchase that comes to mind for her of less than $100 that brings her a lot of joy?
最近買ったもので言うと、最近はもうなんか自分のものっていうよりも娘のものを買うのにとてもときめいていて、娘の靴ですね、うん、すごく一目惚れしたこう手作りの、手作りっていうんですかね、ハンドクラフト風のなんですけれども靴を発見してすごくときめいてしまいました。
So this wasn't a purchase for me, but for my daughter.I love buying things that spark joy for me for my daughter. I fell in love with this pair of shoes that were handmade shoes.
What about for herself? It doesn't have to be recent. It could be anything that she owns, maybe something non-obvious, right? That brings her a lot of joy. I'll give her an example just to give her some time to think. So I have something, if someone were to ask me, like, what is something strange that you have that gives you a lot of joy? So I have Yabusame.やぶさめねくら違う。やぶさめね。
あえく。
なくら。So I have saddles, やぶさめ saddle. And that's very strange, right? That's not something that most people have in San Francisco. But I have an antique やぶさめ saddle, and it makes me so happy every time I see it, right? So that'd be an example of something that's not like, because I could say, oh, I have a photograph of my family, but that's true for a lot of people, right? So I'm trying to identify if there's something.Maybe a little less usual or obvious that really brings her a lot of joy that she has.
そうですね。それで言うと、全く同じような思考になってしまうんですけれども、お抹茶用のお椀というのが、一目惚れして買ったんですけれども、すごく色が綺麗なんです。それ、パープルの、紫色のカラーなんですけれども、清水焼きの、お抹茶用の専用のお椀で、それに一目惚れして買ってしまいました。
That reminds me, I have a tea ceremony bowl that really sparks joy for me. The color is beautiful. It's like a purple, and it's a shimizuyaki style of bowl.
Sounds beautiful. When you hear the word successful, what does that mean to you?
私には今目指している夢があって、それはオーガナイザーワールドっていう夢なんです。まだ私が手にして、しきれていない成功の目標なんですけれども、私はこの片付けのメソッドだったり、その片付けの価値というのを本当に心の底から信じていて、この片付けによってたくさんの人が幸せになることができるというふうに思っているので、本当にその世界の中の方が自分の片付けを終わらせて、自分にとって本当にときめくものを大切にしていける、ときめく価値観を大切にしていける世界を作りたいっていうふうに考えています。それができたら成功だなっていうふうに言えるというふうに思います。
I have a goal. My dream is to organize the world. So, you know, regarding this method of organizing, or through this method, I want lots of people to live lives that spark joy. I want more people to have completed tidying and more people to lead lives of joy as a result. That's success to me.
So aside from that, if she had to choose one more thing, right, to be on her, now this might be sort of culturally specific, but to be on her gravestone...What would she want to have written on her gravestone? Aside from that.
それで言うと、本当に自分が亡くなった時に、私の祖母みたいになりたいなっていうふうに思っているんです。どういうことかっていうと、 私の祖母というのは本当に自分を持っている、自分が持っているものやお家をすごく大切にしている人だったんですね。で、本当にこう自分の持っているものや見えないところまですごく美しくするっていう価値観をすごく大事にしていて、私も本当にそんな風に、その大きなことじゃないんです。本当に例えば、自分が持っている洋服をすごく丁寧に畳むとか、常にこう引き出しの中もきれいに整えておくっていう風に、小さなことをすごく大切にできていけたらなっていう風に思うし、周りの方からそういう風に思われたいっていうのはちょっと不思議な話だなって自分では思うんですけれども、そういう風に生きていきたいなって思います。
When I pass away, I want to be like my grandmother. So my grandmother really took good care of her belongings and her house. She made even places that you couldn't see very beautiful. So for example, I'd like to be remembered as the person who folded her neat clothes really neatly and put them away neatly. And I'd like to continue living this way.
なんかね、サクセスっていう、成功っていう意味はすごく小さいことかもしれないんですけど、そういうすごく小さいことをこう積み重ねていって、人生を生きていきたいなっていうふうに思っているんです。
So the example I gave might sound really small, but it's really important to build up those small things.
I think the small things are the big things.
Yeah.
Is there anything she wanted to just ask the millions of people listening to consider one thing or do one thing or ask themselves one thing? What might that be?
それはもう自分が持っているものに対して常にこう、それを持っていてときめくかっていうことを常に問い続けてください。
So please think about whether your belongings spark joy. Keep thinking about whether things spark joy for you.
I suppose this is as good a place to end it. I think to end it and wrap up, I think this is a question and a framework that I want to apply to a lot. I have a sign over my hallway that says Simplify. It's a wooden sign that I bought from a restaurant, more of a diner, in a place called Truckee in Northern California. And I think I've probably given away 70% of my things in the last few years, but nonetheless, there's always, or there seems to be for me at least, an influx, which is why I was asking about the purchases as well. So this is advice that I need to heed. Where can people find Maria-san online? And Jin, you feel free to answer this, but on social and elsewhere, where's the best place to say hello, whether in English and Japanese, if they're different, because I'm sure they're going to be Japanese speakers listening to this as well. Could you...let them know where they can learn more?
Sure. We're very active on social media. Please follow us at Marie Kondo, both on Instagram and Facebook. We also have our official website, www.komari.com. That's KONMARI.com. We also have newsletters that you can subscribe to, so please feel free to sign up through our website.
And I have one, maybe two last questions. So this is a common question that came up, which was, what are the most common novice mistakes that bring chaos back into people's lives? Right. So somebody reads the book, they follow the instructions, or they think they're following the instructions. What are the most common mistakes that they make that sort of bring the chaos back in?
そうですね、よくやってしまう過ちとしては、本当に順番通りにやっていくことだったり、このいっぺんにやっていくことですね。私の片付け法というのは、カテゴリーごとにいっぺんにやっていくというのがとてもルールなんですけれども、そうではなくて、こう手当たり次第にやってしまう方というのも、ときめくものを選ぶっていうか、概念だけをやっぱり聞いて、でその場でやって少しずつやってしまうっていうケースがあるんですが、そうではなくて、きっちりカテゴリーごとにしっかりやっていくことです。
The most common mistake is when people don't do the KOMARI method according to the order that I've suggested, or sometimes they don't do a category all at once. Some people just want to do things in whatever order they want and like to test out the spark joy concept in whatever order they want. Please don't do that. It's important to really organize by category.
And could you remind everybody of the order again? You have clothing,
books, documents, miscellaneous items, sentimental items.
You heard it, folks. Marching orders from the chief. And Maria-san, どうもありがとうございます。
はい、どうもありがとうございました。Thank you.
And Jun-san, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
And to everybody listening, you can find links to everything that we are discussing, the books, to Maria-san's website, and much, much more in the show notes, as always, at tim.blog/podcast. You can also find show notes to every other episode. And take a look there, tim.blog/podcast. And until next time, thank you for listening. Hey guys, this is Tim again. Just a few more things before you take off. Number one, this is Five Bullet Friday. Do you want to get a short email from me? Would you enjoy getting a short email from me every Friday that provides a little morsel of fun before the weekend? And Five Bullet Friday is a very short email where I share the coolest things I've found or that I've been pondering over the week. That could include favorite new albums that I've discovered. It could include gizmos and gadgets and all sorts of weird shit that I've somehow dug up in the world of the esoteric as I do. It could include favorite articles that I've read and that I've shared with my close friends, for instance. And it's very short. It's just a little tiny bite of goodness before you head off for the weekend. So if you want to receive that, check it out. Just go to 4hourworkweek.com. That's 4hourworkweek.com, all spelled out, and just drop in your email and you will get the very next one. And if you sign up, I hope you enjoy it. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies, which I'm wearing right now. I've spent the last year or so wearing underwear from these guys nearly 24/7. Except when I'm having fancy time, and they are the most comfortable and colorful underwear I have ever owned. If you can imagine really awesome graffiti that you've seen in cities like LA or elsewhere, then turned into a print and put onto underwear, you get the idea. There's also some weird stuff like Halloween-themed camo, which I have for myself. MeUndies, designed in LA and made from sustainably sourced micro-modal. Why is this important? It's 3 times softer than cotton, and you feel that difference on your loins. Ladies and gentlemen, they feel great. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they'll hook you up with a new pair or a refund. What kind of person sends in used underwear back to someone? I don't know. That makes you a strange person. Maybe you should sell them in Japan or something. But if you love the product, and they make great gifts also, and for those people wondering, I go boxer briefs. If you love it, they have a subscription offer where you can save up to 33% after your first pair. So check it out, MeUndies.com/Tim. You can see some of my favorite underwear. And also plenty for the ladies. That's MeUndies.com/Tim. This episode is brought to you by 99 Designs. I've used 99 Designs for years for all sorts of graphic design needs. Whether you need a logo, website, book cover, or anything else, 99 Designs was created to make great designs accessible to everyone and to make the process of getting designs much, much easier. So when I first started out, for instance, testing prototype covers and getting prototype covers for the 4-Hour Body, I went the contest route. That is one option. This is a great solution if you're looking for fast, affordable design work and the ability to choose from dozens of options risk-free. Let's say you need something late night, quick turnaround. Well, people in other time zones, other countries can also help you solve that problem. Since then, I've worked with 99 Designs on a separate path or a different option, and that is the one-to-one project service. So, in a number of cases, and I'll give you one example, when I wanted to create the cover for my audiobook, The Tao of Seneca, this was a very important project to me, I decided to use their one-to-one project service. And with this service, you can invite a specific designer to your project, agree on a price, and then work together until you're satisfied. And they allow you to iterate and provide feedback and all this stuff. And I haven't shared it yet, but we also got some incredibly good, really some of the best illustrations I've ever seen from using this one-to-one project service with a handful of different designers and illustrators. It blew my mind. 99 Designs makes this all very easy and efficient. So you can check out the Tao of Seneca design and other work that I and your fellow listeners, for that matter, have done on 99 Designs at 99designs.com/Tim. And right now, you can get a free $99 upgrade on your first design. Again, that's 99designs.com/Tim.